The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk about pushy parents or tiger parents or pain in the you-know-where parents, whatever you want to call them. First, because lots of you will be aware of this court case that is ongoing where Gert Ingebrigtsen, or Gert Ingebrigtsen, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he is the father of the famous Ingebrigtsen running clan, Jakob, Philip, Henrik, and their sister as well, Ingrid, who never really made it to the same levels as her brothers, and partly, she says, because of the way she has been treated by her father. So he is accused of all sorts of awful behaviour, including out-and-out physical violence directed at his children in terms of trying to get the best out of them from a sporting performance point of view. Now, while that is an outlier, that type of extreme stuff, if indeed it happens, of course he is pleading innocence in that regard. There is no shortage of pushy parents out there when it comes to sport or indeed anything else. So we're here to talk about it. And Steve Cummins, the comedian, I mean, pushy parent number one, I thought, when we had to talk about this. I said, get Steve in here.
I would imagine why I'd be your first thought. I don't think I've been especially pushy. There was one thing, because I rang my son, who's away at the moment, about this, just to double check with him, just there a couple of hours ago. When he was about 9 or 10, there was two things I really wanted both boys to be able to do. I thought they were real life skills. One was to be able to swim well, and the other was to be able to fight or defend yourself well. With both. So I got both of them swimming at a very young age. Now, we live by the sea, it wasn't that hard. But I got them into taekwondo. And took them to a taekwondo class, a couple of classes actually. And then I said, okay, are you willing to do this? And they said, yeah, I'd like to do it. It looks going to be a bit of fun. I think it'll be great. And I went, okay, but this is something you commit to. You don't just half-ass in this. So if you want to do it, you're going to do it until you get a black belt or you're 18. You turn 18. My eldest managed to get his just as he turned 16. But for the last year, he really didn't want to do it. Now, the day he got his black belt, he was like, Dad, thank you for pushing me. It was great and da-da-da. But there were times, like, because he was going to my wife going, will you talk to Dad and let him say I don't have to do it? And then I'm going, no, I am the line in the sand. And he was right for it. However, I am nowhere in the league of these kind of sporty, pushy parents. Do you know what Andre Agassi's dad used to do?
Oh, yeah, he was a real lunatic, yeah.
But he sellotaped a table tennis bat to Andre's hand when he was a baby. And he used to hang a tennis ball over his head as, you know, some sort of for hand-eye coordination. And what? How bad did Andre turn out, other than the crystal meth?
Well, yeah, well, there was that. And the other example I think of as well in the sporting context is Earl Woods, Tiger Woods' dad, who really pushed him. Richard Williams, Serena and Venus' Williams' dad, who really pushed them. And, you know, the response, I guess, is, well, didn't it work out well for them? But what about the thousands and thousands of other kids who are pushed the same way by their parents and have nothing to show? They don't have the millions and millions in the bank. They just have a terrible relationship with their parents and with sport.
So you mean the ones who weren't pushed hard enough by their parents?
They didn't push hard enough.
Do you know who are my favourite kind of cadre of pushy parents? Are pageant moms in America.
Oh, yeah.
They take it to the... Forget the Williams, forget the Woods, forget the unpronounceable names. That's where you really... It's like... Darling, you've got to smile through anything. Smile through your tears and your heartache and your high heels and everything else. Look, I don't want it to go the other way either. Obviously, being a pushy parent is like a too pushy a parent. I think we all have to push just in the right ways and at not.
Well, that's it. It's about that balance, isn't it?
And if you're trying to push your kids so that you get your, like, you reflect, it's
you're
reflect
doing it,
on
you're
you.
Doing it because you get a kick out of them. Absolutely. Winning or being successful.
I grew up in Moyross in Limerick, so to me, being able to defend yourself was very important, which is why I pushed my kids on that. And guess what? Both of them can take me now, which is always kind of
terrifying.
It is quite terrifying, but I know where they sleep.
So. I know, your kid, they're taller than you as well. They could really do a number on you.
Considerably taller than me, yeah.
Antonio Montenegro is with us as well, the founder of the Silent Sideline campaign coach. Antonio, thanks a million for joining us. Tell us about the Silent Sideline thing.
So Silent Sideline is basically a weekend or even just a game if you want to participate, where children will be able to go from basically play the game in a natural environment. So what I say in a natural environment is if you look out in your green and you see children playing a football game amongst each other, you know, they do it naturally. They go from mistake to mistake without it being highlighted or out even realizing that they've made a mistake. So the whole concept and idea is that so children can play the game as naturally as it would be if they were just playing with their mates out in the green. So you ask parents and coaches to, you know, give little to no instruction. If they need to instruct, they can do it at halftime before the game, or, you know, maybe in moments where the game is stopped. But from parents, yeah, you definitely ask parents to stand back away from the action and not get so emotionally involved. So just to observe, watch, and you know, enjoy the experience of watching your children play sport.
And how often, Antonio, in your coaching career, if we'll put it that way, or in that world, do you come across problematic behaviour from parents or from other coaches?
I think you see it in most games, you know, where you, problematic, I suppose it can be either end of the scale. So, I mean, you could have a parent that thinks they're meaning well, but they're constantly instructing, constantly passing on advice for the child what to do on the ball, before the ball, or just as they're about to receive the ball or whatever sports it may be. So you can have a variation of a parent like that. You can have ones that are just over the top, screaming constantly, you know, maybe abusing the referees, shouting at every decision, which in turn just affects the game because it stops the game from having a flow. It stops children from thinking on the spot and making quick decisions. So it kind of varies across, I suppose, games that I've seen, but there definitely is it in most games that you would see played at the weekend.
And how often would you confront another adult, be they kind of somebody from the team you're with or an opposing team, and say, oh, listen, you got to rein it in now. That's not okay.
I mean, look, it can be hard to approach an opposing team because more often than not, they're at the other side of the pitch. And yeah. I think for my own teams that I've coached over the years, when I've worked with children of various ages, then I would generally have a meeting with the parents and explain to them, you know, how I like to coach, how I want the children to enjoy the game. And I'll explain to them that, you know, by no means do you pass on advice or coach during the game. If you want to pass on advice after the game or on the way home or on the way to the game, that's entirely up to you. But for as long as I have the children, then it's going to be me that's going to be doing the coaching. It's going to be me that's passing on the information. It's going to be me that's trying to develop them. I just ask you to support, to be there, and just to enjoy the experience. There's absolutely no need for you to be passing on information or shouting instruction from the sideline. And I think if you have that meeting earlier on, then you probably won't run into too many problems throughout the season.
Steve,
I was sent off by a referee once.
As a parent?
As a parent.
What did you do?
Well, I called him a disgrace because, now, in my defence, now, I've always had a very simple rule because I want to start off, I couldn't agree with Antonio more, 100% across the board in all of this. This was just, it was some awful refereeing, but it was very one-sided awful refereeing. And what happened was the other team realised we're not going to get called for a foul for anything. And some of the fouls are getting way worse and way worse and way worse. And he sent me off. So my legend among the kids on the team, when they were like under 14s or something, was quite spectacular. But yeah, no, I didn't swear. All I said was, ref, you're a disgrace. That was it. But he was kind of losing it because a lot of people were shouting at him. But yeah, that's my claim to fame. I was sent off.
What a claim to fame. Sheila O'Malley is with us as well, the parenting expert and a keynote speaker in all aspects of well-being as well. Sheila, what's going on with parents? Steve mentioned, you know, trying to kind of live success or experience success through their kids. What's often going on when you see this pushiness and this overreaction to things in the sideline?
You know, I think, to be honest, Kieran, it's their own experience, you know, and maybe when they were growing up, it wasn't safe to make mistakes. What? So when they have their kids, they don't want their children to re-experience what they experienced. So unknowingly and unwittingly, you know, I often use this expression, you know, somebody who got hammered over making a mistake. If you love your child, you sort of want not to happen to them. But unwittingly and unknowingly, you can go in and put pressure on children. And I tell you one thing I know for sure from working with probably thousands of parents at this stage over the last 15 years is the only thing that children need in order to learn, I'm sure the guys would agree on this, is opportunity, support, encouragement, patience, a bit of kindness, a bit of fun, and sometimes a bit of participative learning when they're getting started. That's what kids need. You know, if you want to dry up effort, be discouraging. You know, if you want to come in with criticism, it's really, you know, going to become a negative experience. Because you just think about it in terms of yourself. If you make a dinner or something for your wife and, you know, all you get is criticism and discouragement or whatever, it just dries up your efforts. So children are no different. But actually children, when you think of a toddler, have a natural drive to learn. You know, they've learned to walk by falling and they know that, you know, making a mistake is actually part of learning. And so they don't really have a problem with failure because they know that failure, you know, is sort of the riser in the step of learning.
Yeah.
So kids have no problem with it. And it's that, you know, but it's like the parent kind of confuses them. And if they get criticized or whatever over it, well, then they really want to start dampening down the expectations of the parent or, you know, saying, actually, I have to get it right. And ultimately, you just create another perfectionist who decides to play small and, you know.
And I'm conscious as well, I mean, as tyrannical as some of these parents might appear on the sideline to us, it's like that, you know, that Mitchell and Webb sketch where the two of them are Nazis and one of them says, are we the bad guys? You know, none of them, those parents, they don't see that. They think, you know, I'm sure like, right, there are real tyrants out there. But the overwhelming majority of these lunatics on the sideline absolutely love their kids to bits and all the other kids on the team. And they think they're doing the right thing. And I think that's probably worth remembering as well, certainly when it comes to the confrontation side of it, because sometimes you do have to kind of confront them and say, rein it in.
Without a doubt, like one thing I would have said over the years is every parent does their best, but they do the best with what they got, with what it was like for them, you know, and with what was going on. And when we know more, we can do more. But one thing I will say for certain is, and have been said so far, see effort, get more effort. Focus on performance, and you either dry up effort or sometimes you can create perfectionism. See effort. It's the driver to learning. If you come in with encouragement, the word encouragement comes from the French word courage. Give heart to the child's learning effort and you will drive, you know, more effort. But any hint of pressure, irritability, unrealistic expectation is going to dry up the motivation and lead to fear. And nobody learns when they're in a place of fear.
No. And Antonio, how important is it if you're, you know, starting off with a group of adults over, you know, be it a team sport or it's Taekwondo or anything else, that you have these conversations in advance, you know, with the other parents who are going to be helping out as coaches, as it were, that, listen, here's the principles that we abide by. You know, it's all about encouragement. The criticism has to be constructive and maybe done one-to-one and always in a way that encourages learning in a fun way. You know, that everybody's on the same page starting off, that you're not waiting for a problem to arise and then dealing with it.
Yeah, I think it's imperative. I mean, look, communication is how we resolve things. Communication is how we explain things or how we get information to people. And if you take on the effort of coaching, and let's be honest, the vast majority of the people who are coaching kids have absolutely no experience in terms of coaching kids. So, I mean, most of them are just given some balls and bibs and told to go about and they learn as they go or they teach the children how they were learned. And we all know that that's completely changed. So I think even for a coach that's doing that, you need to go off and try and find your way and try and find information. Either ask the club. If the club isn't providing it, then you need to go and research and try and find the best ways how to coach children, you know, and there's an abundance of information out there. One thing I would just say to anybody coaching kids or involved with children, or even parents, you know, take the occasional peek forward, you know, so fast forward 15 years, 20 years and look back. And how do you want to be remembered as a coach? You know, do you want to be remembered as a coach that was negative, that was constantly putting the kids down, that, you know, that didn't get the best out of their own kids, you know, that their own kids left sport early because they just didn't enjoy it? Or do you want to be remembered as a positive coach who encouraged, who allowed their children to develop at their own rate through the various stages? You know, and that's for me, that's always been a great one where you can fast forward and look back and go, I want to be remembered in a positive way. I don't remember as that coach who had a negative impact on a child, because that will stay with you forever. So whether you like it or not, how you make a child feel will stay with that child forever, and they'll never forget that. So it's really important that you have a positive environment and that you're a positive coach. And look, you know, there are situations where, you know, we might lose the head or, you know, things don't go as planned. But at the end of the day, you cannot want to win more than the children themselves. It's, you know, let the children win their game. They go out to play to win, absolutely, but you can't want to win more than them. If you do, you're going to have a lot of problems.
You will. Antonio, thanks a million for joining us. Antonio Montero, who's a coach and the founder of the Silent Sideline Campaign. Steve Cummins, comedian, and a man who is remembered as a coach for being sent off for calling a referee a disgrace, and Sheila O'Malley, parenting expert.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.